Now, in New York State, approximately 40% of the people across the state prison system are eligible for parole. Of this 40%, there are thousands that are serving life sentences or virtual life sentences. What this means is the parole board is their only avenue, the only mechanism they have of ever returning back to their families and home communities. I was one of those persons. The only way I was going to be released from prison was through the New York State Parole Board. And yet, no matter what my accomplishments were, I was perpetually denied parole. I was among the thousands of people that the board denies parole for the one thing that no one could ever change, and that is the nature of the crime. We've had exposés by the New York Times, Albany Times, exposing the racial disparity in the release process of the parole board. Also, everyone basically agrees that the board is broken, but no one is trying to fix this. And the only people that is impacting this broken system is those languishing in prison for years and sometimes decades past their minimum that was set by the court, and their families who languish with them in hopelessness and despair. In between parole hearings, people are actually dying. John McKenzie is a perfect example. Denied parole 10 times after 40 years of incarceration, he passes away through suicide. One of my mentors was denied 13 times. At his 14th parole board, he has a massive stroke and never recovers. The thing is that both of these men and countless more just like, and women, just like them, are needlessly being denied parole because the New York State Parole Board has the absolute discretion where they can totally devalue, disregard rehabilitative accomplishments, no matter how extraordinary they may be. Our leader, our first director and founder, Mujahid Fareed, is another perfect example of being denied parole for 18 years and then finally released because the board has determined that he's been punished enough. And this goes to the heart of the matter, that the parole board has taken it upon itself to add more layers of punishment on people appearing before them, hurting them individually and hurting tens of thousands of families who suffer with them. I was released a little over 3 years ago, after 38 years of incarceration. The commissioner who released me is here with us, Carol Shapiro. She determined by the evidence, not just the research and study, but the evidence that I presented to her, that I could no longer be classified as a risk to public safety. She made the right decision in releasing me, and the proof is that I'm here with y'all, speaking about this issue of great concern to our community. And the parole commissioners who perpetually denied me parole before her were wrong. But they didn't pay a cost for being wrong. I paid a cost for their wrong, and my family paid a cost for their wrong. We have to change this system that perpetually and permanently punishes people without paying any cost. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Jose. So now I will talk about what the two bills actually do and a little bit about what they don't do. So I'll start with the Elder Parole Bill. And, you know, the Elder Parole Bill would allow the State Board of Parole to provide an evaluation for potential parole release to incarcerated people age 55 and older who have already served 15 years or more of their sentence. This includes some of the sickest and oldest incarcerated people in New York State. This means that people 55 and over who have served 15 consecutive years or more of their sentence will get a chance to see the parole board. So that the parole board would then evaluate if that incarcerated individual is suitable for release. The parole board will still decide if the person is ready to be released based on a number of factors, including the risk that that person poses to public safety. This is not a blanket release of everyone. No, this is just a chance for those people who are 55 and have served 15 years to be considered for parole release. I'll give one example here of someone who sadly passed away behind bars and whose life could have been saved by the Elder Parole Bill. And that person is Benjamin Smalls. Benjamin Smalls died behind bars at the age of 72. He had served 20 years of a 39-year sentence, meaning he would have had 19 years left to go, which means he would have been eligible for release at age 91. Sadly, Mr. Smalls passed away of COVID-19, but even if it weren't for the virus, with the conditions inside of prison, I don't think he would have lasted till age 91. And I'll just talk a little bit about who Benjamin Smalls was. My father knew Benjamin Smalls personally. My father is incarcerated. And everyone inside called him the elder statesman. I've heard from numerous people who were incarcerated with him that he smiled a lot. He was always positive and optimistic. He helped tons of people with their legal work. And he was a mentor and teacher to so many. Not only that, he left behind a daughter and other family members who would have loved to see him come home. If the Elder Parole Bill had been passed before Mr. Smalls passed away, he would have possibly been free. They would have looked at him for who he is today. They would have saw that he had rehabilitated himself. He is no longer living a life of crime. He is now a totally new and changed person. And they would have been able to release him, and he could have lived his last years with his family. But instead, he died behind bars. Mr. Smalls wrote me a letter once, and he said, he knew I'd been doing advocacy work. And he said, you know, what you're doing for us, the people who don't have a voice outside without advocates, I just thank you so much, and I wish you the best. And his letters to me made me smile and really kept me going forward when it comes to this advocacy work. And I'm not the only one, but a lot of us were so sad to see him pass behind bars. And a bill like Elder Parole would have given him a chance to at least be considered for release. So that's Elder Parole. And now I'll talk about Fair and Timely Parole. Fair and Timely Parole, that bill would provide a more meaningful parole review for incarcerated people who are already parole eligible. So that means this bill would be for everyone who's already served their minimum sentence. What Carol said earlier really is what I'm talking about here when you have an indeterminate sentence. When the bill is passed, it would mean that the parole board would look at a person holistically when determining if they can be released to parole supervision. That means that they would look at a number of factors, including the nature of the crime, educational achievements that incarcerated individuals have accomplished, therapeutic programs that incarcerated individuals have completed, and also letters of support or opposition by community members, amongst a bunch of other things. As it stands today, the parole board denies the majority of people who go before the parole board are denied based solely on the nature of their crime. This bill would mean that the parole board would be accountable to only deny people who pose a public safety risk and who show signs that they may break the law again, and that them breaking the law cannot be mitigated by parole supervision. So when it comes to fair and timely, this bill means so much to me. My father is incarcerated and he's serving a 22-year to life sentence. My father became incarcerated when I was 10 years old, and I've always been close with my father. And I'll just tell you, my father is on a road to rehabilitation, growth, and transformation. spiritually, psychologically, and emotionally, my father is like a different person than who he is the day he became incarcerated. And what the Fair and Timely Bill would do, it would make sure that the parole board is looking at my father for who he is today and everything that he's done to change himself from the inside out. For a person like me, who's always been close with my father despite incarceration, the Fair and Timely Parole Bill means so much because I've seen families just be devastated by continuous parole denials when they know that their incarcerated loved one has changed and wants to support their community, that wants to stop violence from happening again. A lot of these incarcerated people, they understand that their crime was wrong. They have deep remorse and regret, and all they would like to do is make their communities and their family better and safer so that no one else has to go through what they went through. And the Fair and Timely Parole Bill would just make it so the parole board has to take into consideration that these people want to change.